the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
Happy New Year!
Rested, recharged, and ready to rock. Welcome back, everyone, to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. A very happy New Year. Yeah, cheers. Very happy New Year to all of you. I hope you had plenty of time to celebrate the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, whatever it is you celebrate. I hope you had plenty of time to enjoy it with friends and family. I hope you all came back to work after whatever time, if any, that you had off during or right after the holidays, ready to go, ready to rock, fully loaded with all your New Year's resolutions, which I'm going to get into here very shortly. I hope you all had a great Christmas. I hope you got some great stuff. I am staring right now at the greatest gift I got this year, which was from my daughter. It is a little like plaque that has the logo of my show here, Spin Sold Separately. And it's like glass, see-through. It's got a cool little bracket that I can display it on. It is really cool. It is right next to my mouse here. And it was just so thoughtful. She's seen how excited I am about this whole project we've got going here. And she totally took that to the next level and made me a very personalized, very thoughtful Christmas gift out of it. So love you, kiddo. That really means a lot to me. It has become very clear to me that the outside world is not going to make things better. So, you know what? It's up to us. It's up to us, each and every one of us, to change our perception, to make things better. The outside world very clearly isn't going to do that for us. X isn't going to do that for us. Cable news isn't going to do that for us. My Minnesota Vikings certainly aren't going to do that for us or for me. It's so much work being a Vikings fan. Oh, I know, says the fan of the 14-3 team. Oh, if you're a Viking fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Watching that utter debacle that the whole country was ready for, it got flexed to Sunday night. There was so much on the line. Sam Darnold's, you know, look at the resurrection of this career. Kevin O'Connell's the quarterback whisperer. Detroit's defense is all banged up. Minnesota could actually steal this thing. Guys, we're Viking fans. We've seen the play. We know how it ends. There's no amount of outside influence that's ever going to change it. We can keep rearranging the deck chairs. It always ends the same way. And yeah, I know, pessimistic sports fan. Oh, Minnesota sports. You know what? I'm ready to be proven wrong. I've been ready to be proven wrong for the better part of two decades. The last championship that any Minnesota pro, you know, of the major four sports leagues, professional sports leagues, the last championship by any one of our four teams was in 1991. I was 13, for crying out loud. I'm getting mailings from ARP with my name on them. And the last time one of my teams won a championship, I was 13. I hadn't even started high school yet. Now I'm getting things from AARP in the mail, and we're still waiting. No, it was all there. It was all sitting on a tee for us. Yeah, it was on the road at Detroit, and Detroit's a great team. I take nothing away from Detroit. That offense, Jahmyr Gibbs, oh my goodness, what an electric player that guy is. Jared Goff is as cool, calm, and collected as a quarterback in this league right now as I have seen. Just nothing flaps that guy. I mean, he threw two interceptions in that game. Didn't matter. He just comes back and daggers you on the very next drive with just a, you know, you can blitz eight guys, and he just stands there and finds the open guy and hits him right in stride. Detroit's a fun team to watch, as much as I hate to admit that, being a fan of one of their division rivals. I mean, Dan Campbell, that Western outlaw attitude of, you know what, yeah, it's 4th-and-6 from our own 30. Screw it. We're going for it. And yeah, every once in a while it bites him in the rear, but not as often as you'd think. And wow, does that keep the opposing team and the opposing coaching staff and the opposing defense on their heels when you never, ever know what's going to happen. I mean, you almost know they're going to go for it in almost every situation. And most teams are so predictable when it comes to, oh, it's 4th and 2 and, you know, we're at our own 41. You know, we better punt. You know what? I love the fact that a coach says, no, I think our team can get 2 yards when we absolutely have to get 2 yards. I have faith in my guys that we can do that. Is the other team going to stop us occasionally? Well, yeah, they're professionals. They're getting paid too. But I love that no fear. You're going to have to stop us. We're not going to stop ourselves. You're going to have to make the play. We're not just going to give you the ball back. You guys are going to have to make a play to stop us. And if you do, you know, good job. You know, we'll take our turn trying to stop you then. But God, I love that attitude. And boy, did that show through in that Sunday night game. I mean, it wasn't even, it was close that first half. Clearly, Minnesota's quarterback, Sam Darnold, God love him, he's had a great year. That was an awful game from right from the start. Missing open guys. How that game could have changed if he could hit one of those shots into the end zone that were, you know, just blatant overthrows. He took like a 17-yard sack in the first quarter. It's just something you just don't do in the NFL. You know, getting backed up to your own 3-yard line. It's too bad. It's too bad. I have been a fan of Sam Darnold on the Vikings this entire year. Even when they first signed him, I was in the minority that said, you know what? I kind of like this. I kind of like this so much, I don't even really care if we draft a quarterback this year, which the Vikings ended up doing, and we'll save that for a very Viking-centric episode that we'll have some fun with in the near future here, maybe once the season wraps up, which sadly could be as early as next Monday. Ugh. I'm not ready for that. Not ready for that. This team has played too well, beaten too many good teams, Detroit notwithstanding. I'm not ready for this run to end here, but you know, we'll see what happens next Monday. They play one of the few teams that has already beaten them this year. The LA Rams, they seem to have a pretty good game plan against us, and the fact that our coach was an underling of their coach before our coach got his chance to be a head coach, you know, is probably not coincidence that LA's coach kind of knows how to handle us, because our coach used to be one of his assistant coaches. It'll be interesting. Rams are a good team. They're healthy. They've got 2 amazing wide receivers, a running back that can barely be contained, and a quarterback with all kinds of experience, Super Bowl champion, knows what has to be done to win a playoff game. It's going to be a good game. I hope it's a better game than it was on Sunday, because, man, the Vikings just come up so small in these, you know, this game that was hyped up all week. Most wins between 2 teams playing in the regular season in the history of the league. So much at stake, either the 1 seed for the winner or the 5 seed for the loser. Hey, win and you get a bye and 2 home games to get to the Super Bowl. Lose, you get no bye. You're going on the road next week. You know, if you win, you know, depending on who wins in the other matchups, maybe you can steal a home game in one of the next couple rounds, but it's not likely. It's likely you're going to have to win 3 road games now to get to the Super Bowl. So all the stakes were there. The Vikings were definitely the healthier of the 2 teams. Detroit has lost most of its starting defense, but you wouldn't have known that by watching how that game played out. I was sitting there watching it going, what? Would we have scored at all if Detroit had their number one, you know, if they were as healthy on defense as the Vikings are? A lot of those guys playing for Detroit right now are second, some of them 3rd stringers, and not very good teams like a beat up San Francisco team the week before were putting up big points on that Detroit defense, and because they didn't have the players on the field they were supposed to have. But as is typical, and I know this sounds like sour grapes Viking fan guy, which, yes, I am. Okay, guilty. Vikings show up on that Sunday night game with the whole country watching, the whole NFL fan base watching, because there was so much on the line, and these were, you know, 2 14-win teams, and they fell flat on their face. Had a couple of chances to make some big plays to keep that game close and maybe turn the momentum a little bit. Never happened. Overthrowing guys in the in the end zone that were wide open. Our, one of my favorite linebackers on the Vikings, Van Ginkel, had a chance to tip a ball to himself and basically take a pick six to the end zone and tie the game in the third quarter. Well, no, he tips it up and he can't catch it, falls to the ground, and well, three plays later, Detroit's in the end zone again. So what could have been 17-17 quickly became 24-9 in the span of about 45 seconds. And I don't know. I'm just so used to watching it play out this way. As a Viking fan, you almost expect it on the biggest stage, even when the odds technically are in your favor. I know they were on the road, but they were definitely the healthier team. You could tell right away. As a Viking fan that is well-versed in this stuff, we could tell. We could tell late first quarter that this isn't going to happen. Sam's all over the place, can't hit open guys, you know, takes that huge sack. I heard a crazy stat yesterday. The Vikings ran, it was something like 14 plays inside the red zone, and one of those plays resulted in positive yardage. The other 13 resulted in nothing or negative yardage. That's insane. And like I said, Detroit didn't even have barely had their starting defense on the field. Props to Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for Detroit. I mean, to take, you know, a group of guys that obviously they're professionals too, but they weren't starters. They were second stringers for a reason. Props to Aaron Glenn for getting that defense ready to face what had been a pretty successful offense that the Vikings were putting on the field and making them look amateur. I mean, with a group of guys that he did not start the year with, you know, kind of piecing things together as the year went along, as the injuries mounted for that Detroit defense. Props to Aaron Glenn and that defense for being that ready for what they felt like they were going to face and making that Viking offense look incredibly pedestrian. For the duration of that game, the Vikings never got in the end zone. Scored 9 points in a game that they absolutely had to have. Now they go on the road to face a team that they already lost to this year. You know, anything can happen, but I'm a Viking fan. My optimism is not in my vocabulary. I know it's been a while since we've talked. I'm so glad to be back on the microphone here. I am in the middle of a bit of a respite from my day job, so I am feeling very rested and recharged. No thanks to turning on the news. I mean, I'm sure you all have heard of the horrific things that have happened over the last couple of weeks since we last spoke. The brutal, I don't know what else to call it, terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Day, followed very quickly by a Tesla Cybertruck blowing up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. These both happened on New Year's Day. That's why I say the outside world is not going to change things for us. It's not going to change our perspective. It's not going to change our outlook. We're going to have to do that for ourselves. We will not back down in the face of these cowardly, pathetic acts by these people who seek to do nothing but harm innocent people and get their name in the papers, get their name up in lights, get their name out there, whether it's for good or evil. They just want their name out there because they feel like they've got something to say and something to prove. So they take a pickup truck and drive 70 miles an hour down Bourbon Street at 3 a.m. on New Year's Day and just mow down a bunch of innocent people that are celebrating a new year and a new chance for, you know, turning things around, making things better. They're just celebrating the new year in one of the biggest party towns in America, minding their own business, and somebody who doesn't give a damn about any of that, that thinks they've got the moral superiority, just takes it upon themselves to end 15, that last count, I believe it was 15 lives, and change countless lives forever. I don't know. This is what I mean when I say there's something going on out there that I just don't understand. There is just something in the air out there, this ongoing inability for people to call out the murderer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO as anything but that. There is still a swath of our population that is sympathetic to that act, supportive of it in in every means you can be without saying, I support the murder of healthcare CEOs. And then, of course, we have to come through the endless hyperbole about January 6th. Oh, my goodness. I swear, this day on the Democrat calendar has become their number one holiday. And I say this as a former Democrat. And I also say this as someone who took to the air on this very show and said something I'd like to amend here in a minute. But I said those who have been punished for January 6th got what they deserve. I want to narrow that down a little bit. I want to be a little more specific. And I want to say that the people that were beating cops' heads at the Capitol, they got what they deserved. Now, the people who just kind of ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, wandering around the Capitol building, all but let in by Capitol Police, that were just kind of wandering around, not really knowing what was going on, didn't do anything harmful, didn't attack anybody, again, just kind of ended up there and then left. Those people have been so overly demonized and overly prosecuted, some of them. Some of these people that were simply, you want to call it trespassing? Okay, I'll buy that. Okay, it was trespassing. Some of these people have been in jail, in prison, for years on misdemeanor charges. You know, maybe someday we can do a deeper dive on this. I've had it up to here with January 6th. I made my feelings about it very clear on a previous episode of this show. I'm not going to get into it here in any great detail, but watching the hyperbole from the left all day yesterday, it was all over X, all over the news. Sonny Hostin on The View, the worst television program in the history of television, comparing it to the Holocaust, compared it to slavery. I don't have the words. When everything gets compared to the worst things ever, I'd like Sonny Hostin to go back and just be a fly on the wall at Auschwitz and tell me that anything that happened on January 6th holds a candle to what happened during the Holocaust. Or slavery, for that matter. I'm so sick of the hyperbole. I've had it up to here with comparing everything to Hitler, everything to the Holocaust. All you're doing is making a fool of yourself, Sonny. You're making an absolute fool of yourself. Just go sit on your millions, you know, that you made in a country that you hate, talking about people that you hate. God, what gets rewarded in our legacy media these days. Anyway, there's plenty of time to get into all that, and we will get back into reality as the weeks go on here. We've got a lot of things planned here, and you know, we're going to have some fun today. What is today? 7th? 8th? I don't even know what day it is. That's what happens when you're on vacation from work. You lose track of the days. Yeah, it's January 7th. So I'm about a week behind here, but as corny and cliched as it is, those that know me know I am nothing if not corny and cliched. What better time than now than to make some resolutions for this new year? Yes, it's tired. Yes, people usually give up on them by, what is it, January 7th? They usually give up on them by about January 4th, which I have certainly done in the past. But I made it a point this year to make sure that I don't set the bar too high for myself. Now, that would say, you know, well, you're not going to realize your full potential if you don't set the bar high. Well, everything that I'm going to lay out here for you as far as resolutions, which are not necessarily just specific to me, I think we can all benefit by trying to sand the rough edges of our existence. And what better time to do it than after New Year's? It is cliched, but it is a chance to just kind of turn the page. 2024 for me was, you know, there was some good. There was a lot of good. I started this show after years of thinking about it. We moved to a new house that I absolutely love, and we spent our vacation, our summer vacation, with our family and friends at our favorite place, and the weather was perfect. Well, then there were some not so great things, like us losing our dog, and you know, unexpectedly early in the year. And then I go back to, well, my daughter graduated high school last year and started her first year of college, and my son started high school last year. But you know, then there's, you know, my mom took a bad fall early last year in January, slipped and fell on the ice, and she's almost fully recovered. I'd say she is fully recovered, but, you know, it took a good 8 months for her to get back to where she was. You know, she's in her 80s now, and God bless her. She's the healthiest 80 something on the planet. I will put her regimen of taking care of herself and her body up there with anybody's. I aspire to be half as diligent as she has been in taking care of herself. And that's part of what has inspired me to try to make some better choices, you know, physically, health-wise in 2025, because I see what it can do for you over the long term. I've got a perfect real-life example right in my own world of my mother, you know, looking great, feeling great. And, you know, she can still get down on the ground in her 80s and play with my niece. I'm amazed by it. She does the same set of exercises every night, has for as long as I can remember. And it's kept her mobility up. It's kept her spirits up. And I think it's kept her, you know, as healthy as any 80-year-old could ever hope to be. Thank you, Mom, for being one of my inspirations for wanting to make some better choices for myself going forward here. So we're going to get, you know, yeah, we've got plenty of time to get into all the news, all the current events. We've got some other stuff planned. We've got that discussion coming up with that friend of mine that's going to come here, and we're going to debate the last election, you know, who was better fit to win that election. Why not? That's going to be a good time. We should have that coming up for you here in the next couple weeks. I think Inauguration Day is now 13 days away. So I'm really hoping we can get that done and out to you before that. I would like to turn the page after inauguration and start talking about other things. But I think that's an important one to get in before Inauguration Day. So we're going to do our best to make that happen. Got a couple other things in the hopper, almost ready to go. But today, we are going to talk about JD's 2025 resolutions, and the theme of that is 25 in 25.
25 in 25.
You will notice a common theme throughout these resolutions of mine that I encourage you to take on yourself. If there's, you know, if there's things you want to do a little better physically or socially or professionally or whatever, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good to, you know, take this opportunity, again, as cliched as it is, during the new year, to just try to make some things better in your life. You know, we all can get very distracted by whatever's going on in life or in the world, and, you know, all of a sudden another year goes by, and, well, I still haven't done that one or two things I wanted to do or wanted to take on. You know, let's go through these together.
25 in 25.
Number one. Lose at least 25 pounds. Oh, really? How original. Lose weight in the new year. Well, yeah. I made a decision several years ago when I started to struggle with my weight more than I was used to struggling with it. I made a decision when I got to an uncomfortable point in that struggle that, you know what, I'm done buying bigger clothes. My punishment for letting my eating habits and my lack of exercise habits, my punishment for that is going to be discomfort in my own clothes. And I haven't changed that. What has changed is the level of discomfort that I am currently experiencing in my wardrobe. Now, I'm holding true to what I told myself all those years ago. I am not buying bigger clothes. Because to me, that just green lights me to now make the next size up more and more uncomfortable. The only way I can reel myself in is when I'm all but unable to button my own pants. That is the motivation that I need to try to rein things back in a little bit and get my eating habits under control. I know what my weaknesses are. I'm sure, you know, if you're of a certain age, you know what your weaknesses are. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can eat anything you want when you're 24 and there's almost no repercussions for it. But then you wake up one day and you're 35 and, okay. You know, maybe I can't eat, I can't have my favorite cheeseburger five times a week anymore. And then you wake up and you're 46 and all it takes is looking at a bowl of ice cream and you put on 4 pounds. Like, but wait a minute. Like, I didn't even eat the damn thing. What happened here? Well, you know, inevitably I do end up eating the damn thing. And well, that's what's gotten me where I am right now. So yes, goal number one is losing 25 pounds. And you know what? It can be very hard to hold yourself accountable to that. It's something that you can kind of lose track of, and well, you get to June and you forget where you even started at. Well, you know, maybe I lost 2 pounds, or maybe I've gained 5. I don't know. I've lost track. So I am going to be very forthcoming about the weight I'm starting at. And every show, I'm going to make it a thing on this show. It'll take 2 seconds, but I'm going to put that number out there. I know a lot of people are self-conscious about their weight. I'm just not one of those people. I mean, you can look at me and say, yeah, you know what, JD, you could be in a little better shape. So I'm going to put the number out there that I'm starting at, and mark my words, by the end of this year, I will take 25 off of this number. I started this year, I weighed myself. We were actually able to stay up on New Year's until midnight and rang in the new year with a couple good friends. What the first thing I did was I ran to the scale and weighed myself. So here's what we're starting at. The 12:03 on New Year's morning. 214.8. That's what I'm starting at. Progress has been, I would say, unstable since that day. I weighed myself yesterday morning. I have not done it yet today. 214.8. Maybe my scale is broken. Either that or, you know, I did lose a couple pounds when I was super diligent the next couple days about, okay, I'm done with the Christmas cookies. I'm done with the pie. I'm done with sugar is my biggest weakness, by the way. That's the first thing I need to cut out. Well, yesterday I was back up to 214.8 because I indulged over the weekend on our usual pizza Saturday, and then Sunday we had a great spread during the train wreck of a Viking game. But okay, we're past that. Now I got to reel it back in. So 214.8, that's what we're starting at. My goal in 2025, if my Cobb Elementary School math is correct, I need to get down to 189. That's not unreasonable. I think the key to setting goals, you know, as far as New Year's resolutions go, I think it's important to keep them. You want to set it at a place where you got to earn it. You got to work for it. But I don't want to set it so high that I get discouraged by mid-January and I give up on it. Like saying, okay, you know, as a guy that has never gone to the gym since basically high school in his life, well, I'm going to get to the gym 6 times a week and I'm never going to eat a piece of cake again. Well, I know myself well enough to know that that's not realistic. There is no scenario in my life as it currently exists where I could ever see myself going to a gym at all. It's just, I don't, to each their own. My daughter goes to the gym 5-6 times a week. She's very, very diligent about it. Loves it. That's what she does. God love her for it. It's just not my thing. At least at this point in my life, it's not my thing. And I know that if I put a goal out there of, well, I'm going to get to the gym X number of times. No, I'm not. What I know I can control is what I put in my mouth on a daily basis. And I know I can do better. I've done better. When I've cut out sugar in the past, my results have been very good. I am a steadfast advocate of fasting. It has worked for me in the past. I will say it hasn't worked as well recently. I know I need to be more careful about what I eat during that window that I give myself, whether it's 4 hours, 6 hours. I usually try to stick with a 6-hour window from about 2 to 8 in the afternoon. Outside of that, it's black coffee, it's water. You know, it's worked for me in the past. We're going to try to make that work again, but I need to be more careful about what I choose to eat during that 6-hour window that I give myself. My goal is to cut that sugar out. That's my biggest weakness, the candy bars, the cookies, the donuts. Those are such weaknesses for me. And wow, did we have a plethora of that around the house after hosting not one, not two, but 3 holiday events at our house. There were boxes of chocolates everywhere. I don't know, 5-6 boxes of cookies, you know, Christmas cookies. We had 2 enormous pies that somehow made it all the way through Christmas without even getting cracked because we had so many other sweets available. Well, you know, I paid for those pies. I can't let them go to waste. So, of course, I spent the next 3 days just gouging pie. Oh, gee, I wonder why my weight ballooned 7 pounds in 6 days. Well, I need to be more diligent. So, item number 1 on JD's resolution list. 25 pounds we're going to lose in 2025, and I will take y'all on that journey with me, and y'all are going to hold me accountable because I'm going to put that number out there every day, and I have no one to blame but myself if it doesn't work.
25 in 25.
Item number 2. At least 25 glasses of water per week. Now, that's pretty reasonable. And, you know, I think most medical experts would say, well, that's probably not even enough. But once again, I don't want to set the bar at an unreasonable place where, okay, 8 glasses of water a day. That might be what's best for us. I just know that's not reasonable for me. I am someone that I don't mind drinking water. I just need to be more purposeful in making sure that that's a part of my day, which can also help, I have learned, every once in a while, putting that snack that you just took out of the cupboard back, because you just slammed a big, you know, an 8-ounce glass of water. Well, that can satisfy your perceived hunger for a little while. And I've already kind of noticed that this past weekend, notwithstanding. But, you know, those first couple days when I would go to the kitchen, and instead of going to the cupboard for a snack like I normally would, I thought, well, you know what? I've only had 2 glasses of water today. Instead, I go to the sink, I fill up a glass of water, and I chug that. And you know what? Okay, I'm not hungry right now. And I'd maybe fill that glass up again and go back and do what I was doing, but without having had the snack or the sweet that I otherwise would have grabbed there. So what 25 a week, well, that breaks down to what? About 3.5, 4 a day. It's a minimum threshold. Water is the best thing we can put in our systems for so many different reasons, not the least of which is what you're replacing with that water. You know, if I'm going to go to the cupboard and grab chips and dip and mow on that for 10 minutes, well, it's probably better for my system if I just grab a glass of water, chug that, fill it again, and then go back to what I was doing. We'll see how well that works. I think those two can work in conjunction. If you dedicate yourself to 25 full-size glasses of water a week, you might in the process cut out some snacking that you might otherwise partake in, and it might help you reach goal number 1. So 25 glasses a week, what am I at so far? See, these tracking apps are so good and so good at keeping yourself accountable. Being able to see it on paper. What am I? I'm 6 days into this. I've had 19. So today I have to have 5. I've already had 1. For the first week to be a success, I have to have 5 glasses of water today. So we're going to make that happen. 25 glasses of water a week. Item number 2.
25 in 25.
These are in no particular order, by the way. And we're going to kind of bounce around. Item number 3. Get to church at least 25 times. Now, the more religious among you would say, that's a goal. Like, that isn't even an acceptable threshold. Again, I have said in the past, I need to be more religious than I have been. I need to make getting to church more of a priority in my life. Since we moved to this new house, we live about 700 feet from the nearest Catholic church. There is absolutely no excuse on a week-to-week basis why we cannot get there. Now, our favorite priest is still at a church that's about 15-ish minutes away. We try to get out there when we can. Again, 15 minutes isn't that long. We make it sound like it's on the moon sometimes. The proximity of the nearest Catholic church to our current home leaves absolutely no wiggle room here. And 25 times in the year, that's every other week, basically. A pathetically low threshold for anyone that wants to make religion an important part of their lives. This is the minimum acceptable requirement. Now, we're 1 for 1 so far. Made it to church last week. This is a very, very attainable goal. But again, this is just something we want to be more purposeful about. When it comes to Saturday night or Sunday morning, we have to be done making the excuses of, we're too busy or too tired or, I just don't feel like. We need to be more purposeful about it. Mark my words, we're going to be, hey, we're 1 for 1 so far. This is a very, very easy target to hit. If you have maybe strayed from practicing your religion on any meaningful or in any meaningful way, as far as just getting to a service on a week-to-week basis, getting to a mass, whatever you call it, it's an attainable goal. It's going to get you in a better habit. It's going to get us in the habit of just making this just something that we do every week like we used to when I was growing up. There was never any discussion about it. If you weren't, you know, if you weren't homesick, you know, in a way that you couldn't even be seen in public, you went to church. That's just what you did on Saturday night. And if something prevented us from getting to church on Saturday night, we went Sunday morning. We want to get back to that in our family. And that's one of our goals for this year. Get to church a minimum of 25 times.
25 in 25.
Item number 4, 25 reach outs. And what I mean by that is, again, this is, you know, when you're talking about 25 times in a year, you're basically, you know, you're basically setting a goal of doing X every other week, once every couple weeks. What I mean by reach outs is at least 25 times this year, I want to reach out to someone that in that moment, I otherwise might not have. And it doesn't need to be anything earth-shattering. It doesn't need to be reaching out to your old high school crush or, you know, somebody from your softball team when you were in your 20s that you haven't talked to in 25 years. I mean, those would be fine in most circumstances. I mean something as simple as, you know what, I haven't texted my sister in, you know, a couple weeks. I'm just going to send her a message, let her know I love her and I'm thinking about her and want to get together sometime soon. It can be something that simple. Reaching out to a friend that you just haven't seen in a while. Not that you're intentionally not contacting them or texting them or messaging them. Just, you know, 3 weeks went by and, hey, I haven't texted one of my best friends. Or I haven't seen one of my best friends in a couple of months. Let's try to set something up. That's what I mean. Reaching out to mom. Reaching out to dad. Or an uncle you haven't seen in a while. Just to say, hey, how are you? Thinking of you. Love you. Talk to you soon. I think that might help all of us tighten the laces on our social relationships a little bit, because it's so easy in today's society to just let time go by and not do basic things like reach out to the people you care about. Weeks, months can go by where it's like, my goodness, I haven't talked to my friend AA in 3 months. That's not okay. He's one of my best friends. Call him up or text him. Let's get together for an evening meal whenever he can make it work and, you know, watch a hockey game, watch a Wild game, watch a Viking game, whatever. It's so easy to not do that. And not that you're purposefully not doing it, but I want to make that more of a purposeful thing in my life. Just reaching out to friends and family, even if it's just an innocuous, hey, how you been? Haven't seen you in a while. Hope everything's good. Love you. I think that would help all of us just, I'm using the metaphor of just tightening shoelaces, just tightening that social circle a little bit. Don't let it get too loose. You know, don't go so long without talking to someone that you almost lose contact with them, and you all but have to reintroduce yourself to them after so many months or even a year or more, where so much has changed in your life, in their life. You've lost the thread on each other, and you almost have to reintroduce yourself to each other. Don't let your most important relationships get to that point. Keep that social circle tight and keep those relationships on the front burner. Because to me, that's what's most important in life. Not what's going on halfway around the world. Not what's going on in politics. Not who the president is. Not any of that. What matters is your relationships and how healthy and current we can keep them. That's what I think matters. And I need to be more purposeful about that in my own life, which is why I set the goal of 25 reach outs. Just 25 times at odd times throughout the year, every couple weeks, think of someone I haven't talked to in a while and reach out to them. I think that's going to be healthy for me personally. I think it's going to be beneficial to that relationship. And just, I think it's going to be helpful to the person I'm reaching out to, just to let them know that someone in their life took the time on a random Thursday to reach out. I think that would be good for all of us.
25 in 25.
I know this is another hot one after the holiday season comes and goes and all of us blow out our budgets beyond all recognition. My goal this year, and this number needs to be bigger, but I'm playing on the 25 and 25 theme, cut 25% of my frivolous spending. I don't know where I got my very unhealthy spending habits from. It certainly did not come from my parents. They were uber vigilant of every dollar that came in and every dollar that went out. My dad created a budgeting system that I really wish he would have patented back in the day. And maybe someday I'll lay it out on this show, because it is simple yet genius, and it keeps you on top of every single dollar you bring in. It makes sure that every obligation you have is paid for before you ever think of spending a dollar for entertainment. His system made absolutely sure that everything was accounted for. You always had the money for whatever bill was coming up. You know, that once a year bill when you have to renew your license tabs, or every 4 years or 5 years, depending on what state you're in, when you have to renew your license. Just these weird, I mean, they're expected expenses, but they're not necessarily planned for, because all of a sudden it's September and, oh crap, I've got to renew my license tabs to the tune of, you know, $270. And you know, not all of us are walking around with $270 unaccounted for in our checking account. It's been a rough economy. Inflation has hit just about everyone and everything. And those of us that work the blue collar jobs in this country, well, we're not exactly swimming in extra money. And when those, yes, expected, but not always planned for expenses come up, we can be caught off guard. And you end up using other means other than cash on hand to pay for these things. And it becomes a very ugly, very repetitive cycle that usually ends with a whole lot of toxic debt swirling around you. And that's what's happening in our world right now. And I'm sure it's happening in a lot of your worlds too. Let me tell you, it doesn't take a bad person to get in trouble with personal finances. I mean, we've taken one trip in 15 years. My kids, 18 and 15, were just on a plane for the first time this past April. It's not like we're running around just blowing thousands of dollars all over the place. It can really sneak up on you when you're just trying to keep up with just day-to-day things, especially when inflation hits as hard as it has these last few years. Just trying to keep up with the basic necessities can become extremely difficult and extremely stressful and extremely trying on your budget. Well, we're not completely innocent in this fight. A lot of this has happened to us, but our biggest weakness is takeout. It's finding any excuse throughout the week to order takeout or go grab pizzas instead of cooking a meal at home. Our whole family in my household, I'm being specific to here, is very guilty of finding any excuse we can to do takeout. A, because we like it, and B, because it's easier. And I am the biggest perpetrator of this in our household. If I mention it, it usually means it's going to happen, and I need to be better about that. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say, we will not eat takeout for all of 2025, because I know that's not going to last. I know that's not reasonable for us in our specific situation. So we're just going to try to cut out 25% of that. One out of four times that we say, oh, let's just do takeout, we need to stop ourselves and say, no, this is the one out of four we're going to cut out. We're going to make some eggs. We're going to make some toast. We're going to, you know, we'll cook a frozen pizza. We'll whip together whatever we got. Heck, we'll have cereal. You know, whatever we have sitting around. But this time, when in years past we would have made that call or opened that app and ordered something for takeout to the tune of, you know, who knows, 40, 50, 60 bucks now, we're going to cut this one out. I think one out of four, I mean, again, these are minimum acceptable thresholds that I'm setting here. I think we can do better than that as a family, and we will aspire to do better than that. But in 2025, the minimum acceptable threshold for us is to cut out one out of four. We've already allowed three of them through in barely a week. So the next one, to stay on our 25% goal, the next one's going to have to be the one to go, where we say, hey, let's do this today. And then we catch ourselves and say, no, that is really expensive. We're not going to do that this time. Cut out one out of four. I think it'll make amazing differences for our finances, just on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, just cutting out one of those four enormous and incredibly unnecessary expenditures.
25 in 25.
Item number six, this gets to the fitness aspect of things. 25 push-ups per day. That's the one exercise I have tried to hang on to all of these years. And thankfully, I'm still able to do them, although I have to use the little handles now. I can't just put my hands flat on the floor anymore. That suddenly became something I could no longer do within the last couple of years. But the handles work. I bought one of those little workout kits that has a jump rope that I do use in the summertime, I will admit. I don't go out and jump rope in the winter, A, because I hate being cold, and B, because really bad things can happen when you jump rope on ice and snow. But it came with, a jump rope, a set of push-up handles that you just set on the floor, and then you grab those. Those have made it much easier for me to comfortably and properly do a push-up. My wrists were just getting to a point where putting them flat on the ground was just, it was doing more harm than good. But then I tried these handles, and they have been very, very helpful. So that was good. I think it came with a sit-up thing. It shows you how much I've dedicated myself to fitness. I bought this well over a year ago, and I still don't even remember what was in it. But the push-up thing, that's something I enjoy doing. I can fit in a set of 10 or 12 or 15 during commercial breaks of whatever show or game I'm watching. It's very easy to do. I've gotten away from it recently, which is why it made this list. It is something that I never should have gotten away from, but I did, and I need to be more purposeful about it. Now, even since New Year's Day, I've only done 30 total, which is unacceptable, which means I need to do a lot today to catch up. And you don't need to catch up all in one day. I understand that. But I want to average at least 25 push-ups a day. It helps my upper body physique, which makes me feel better about myself. And that, combined with hopefully losing the 25 pounds, drinking more water, cutting out some snacks, cutting out the occasional takeout order, I think all of that can work together in a way that by this time next year, when I'm talking to you for the New Year's episode 2026, I'm hoping that by then, and I'm confident that I can do it, that by then I will be feeling much better about my physical appearance, my physical physique, how comfortable I am in my own clothes. Take this journey with me. If you feel like this is something that you could use in your life, take this journey with me. Let me know how you're doing. We're going to do 25 push-ups a day at least, and hopefully that'll help us achieve some of our other goals too.
25 and 25.
Item number 7. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on in the budget, and this is going to sound embarrassingly simple to those of you that are much more financially stable and responsible than we have proven to be over the years, we're going to save $25, a simple $25 a week, and just stuff it in our home safe. No matter how tight the budget, this is something everybody can afford, should be able to afford to do. And you know what? $25 a week by the end of the year? It's like $1,200. You can do some really fun things with $1,200. I'm not even saying you need to earmark it for anything, but for us, we just need to be able to prove that we can do it, that we can put money away and not immediately spend it or justify putting it towards this, that, or the other thing. $25 a week, I've already socked away the first installment, just got $25 cash through whatever means, even go to the ATM if we have to. $25 a week, sock it away in the safe, and by the end of the year, I mean, what is it, 50 times 25, yeah, you're going to end up with well over $1,200, $1,300 by the end of the year. This is something we, you know, my wife and I specifically have to prove that we can do, because we have not been responsible when it comes to our finances. I'd be the first to admit it. Again, it doesn't take a bad person to do that, but it does take a somewhat financially irresponsible person to do what we've done. Again, guilty. And I think the first step to turning that around is setting an attainable, really embarrassingly attainable at this stage of our lives, goal and sticking to it. We always talk about, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to cut this, we're going to save that, we're going to do better here, we're going to do better there. And then 4 months goes by, we have no idea what's happened to any of that. We've stuck to none of it. I want to dedicate ourselves to making a significant change financially in our lives day to day. And this is a very simple, very attainable, very measurable way of doing that. $25 a week, you end up with, you know, $1,200 at the end of the year. You can either do something fun with that, or you can just continue to add to it, which I hope that's what we do, because we have enough fun. We spend frivolously enough. You know, we've already talked about cutting out a quarter of that frivolous spending, whether it's cutting out a takeout meal or grabbing something at, you know, the local store and saying, ooh, I really like this. And then reminding yourself, you don't need that. You have four of them already. I'm a sucker for, you know, shirts that I like or lounge pants that I like. Well, I got enough of both. I don't need any more. What I have is perfectly sufficient. And when I grab those things and think about, ah, it's no big deal, it's only $18 or $12, I need to start putting them back. This all is going to work together here to make me a more responsible person as far as finances goes. But not only that, it's going to make me just more responsible as someone that controls the finances in their household, for better or for worse, or is responsible. I like that better. I'm not in control of it, but I am responsible for making sure all ends meet at the end of every month. And I personally could make that a lot easier on myself by simply reminding myself, no, I don't need that. No, I can put that back. Yeah, I like it, but I've already got something that's almost exactly like it, and it's fine. Take $25 right at the beginning of the week. Even if you have to go to the ATM, stick it in your home safe or wherever you put your cash and just let it grow. Leave it alone. Forget about it. Just keep adding to it. Very, very attainable, very measurable, and something we in this household need to do much more of.
25 and 25.
Item number 8. And this is the last one because 8 is my number, and because I could list these forever, but these were the top 8 that I came up with. Number 8 is grab my old guitar and make sure I sit down with that at least 25 times this year. Again, every other week. That's the goal. I want to do better than that. One of the biggest regrets in my life is not taking an interest in music at a younger age when you're able to absorb things and learn things and train yourself and obtain the dexterity it needs to play guitar at a remotely higher than average level. I got into it a few years ago because I have no musical training whatsoever. I got out of music as soon as I could in middle school. I took a class in 7th grade called Music Appreciation. I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to do band. I didn't want to do orchestra. The only other option was music appreciation, and that was all you needed to fulfill your music requirement for middle school. And that's what I did. I didn't really listen to music as a kid. I mean, looking back on it, I wish I had. I really, really wish I had taken more of an interest in it at that time. But it just wasn't something that interested me at the time, and I got out of it as quickly as I could. Then I got into my 30s and 40s and realized, you know, I'd kind of like to be able to play the guitar around the campfire a little bit. So I did. I bought a couple of songbooks and bought a probably too cheap of a guitar, but it was all I could afford. And started trying to teach myself some chords, and I still can't play single notes. I never even got that far, but I learned at least the basic chords enough that I could play along, albeit not very well, but I could play along with some of my favorite songs. And I got fairly comfortable with it on a very basic level, but like everything else in life, it just ends up getting put on the back burner and then you forget about it. And now I've gone well over a year without sitting down with it. And I want to make sure I get back into that. You know, I did play enough back when I was trying to teach myself that, you know, I developed some of those calluses on your fingers that you do when you're playing guitar a lot. And that's kind of how you can tell you're playing enough, is if you start building up those calluses on your fingers and you're able to play it without, you know, it does hurt a little bit as you're trying to get comfortable with it. Those, you know, you play for half an hour and you're gliding your fingers along those strings. It is a little uncomfortable at first while you're building up the strength in your fingers and the dexterity and, you know, building up the calluses you need to make it hurt a little bit less. I got fairly comfortable with it, where I could transition from, you know, again, very basic chords. The bar chords always gave me trouble. Again, going back to the dexterity thing, if you've ever played guitar before, you know, the Bs, the Fs, a lot of the sharps, a lot of the flats, these bar chords, they're very demanding when it comes to how you can contort your fingers. Now, people that learn this at a very young age, I mean, you know, it's like anything else. They don't even think about it anymore. They learned it young. The muscle memory kicks in and you're just able to go from C to G to B without even really thinking about it. Well, for someone who's trying to learn this in their 40s, you're thinking about it all the time. And those bar chords, the way you have to contort fingers, where some of them are flat, some of them are arched, some of them are reaching, you know, beyond 2-3 strings over, and it's very hard. It's much easier to learn this stuff when you're young and pliable and very spongy when it comes to learning new things. A lot tougher when you're trying to learn it in your 40s. Not that it can't be done, but it takes a lot more purposeful maneuvering of your fingers, stretching them out. Just these bar chords, they're very hard to learn at this age. But I was doing really good with it, and then I got away from it, not keeping track of my own progress, not holding myself accountable. So this year, we're going to be more purposeful about it. At least every other week, I'm going to sit down for an hour. Now, you don't even need songbooks anymore. There are apps all over the place where you can bring up your favorite song, and it's got the chords right there. You can follow along. It'll coach you. There's classes you can take on these apps for relatively small amounts of money compared to what it would do to take, say, a private lesson. But I need to get back to that. I liked that I was able to grab a guitar and play along with some of my favorite songs, you know, even on a very novice, amateur level. I need to get back to that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be guitar. The guitar is what I chose. But if you have a hobby in your life that has fallen by the wayside, but it's something you could still see yourself enjoying, you know, replace guitar with whatever you like to do. If it's read a book every 2 weeks, you know, dedicate yourself to reading 25 books this year, which was also on my list. But, you know, I was a little further down than these because I'm a painfully slow reader. And I've been reading the same book for about 3 months now. So that wasn't a realistic goal for me. I want to read more, you know, trying to play off the 25 and 25. That was going to be tough for books for me. But whatever your hobby is, maybe it's putting puzzles together. Maybe it's crosswords to keep your brain sharp. Maybe it's every couple weeks go somewhere in your state that you've always wanted to go to but never did. You know, go to 25 local fests, a winter fest, a fall fest, a corn maze, whatever it is. You know, 25 different things you want to do that you've never done before. Simple things, attainable things, nearby, or whatever it is. You know, whatever your hobbies are that maybe you've kind of gotten away from, woodworking or painting or sketching, drawing, anything. Whatever you've done for fun, for hobbies in your past that maybe you've gotten away from for no better reason than just life gets in the way, try to be more purposeful about it this year. Whatever one of those old things that you used to do that you could still see yourself doing and enjoying, be more purposeful about it this year. Every other week, do it and keep track of it. Make sure that you're doing that thing, you know, every week or two, and make it more a part of your life again. If it's something that you enjoyed, that gave you happiness, satisfaction, get back to it. Be more purposeful. That's my word for this year. Things aren't just going to happen by accident. We all need to be more purposeful about the things in our life that bring us joy, that bring us happiness, that give us that level of satisfaction and, you know, learning something new or doing something we enjoy, fitting it in, making sure you don't let all the responsibilities of life, which are there and need to be dealt with, but making sure they don't completely consume you. Leave room in your life for a little grace. Give yourself a little bit of grace and some time to do some things that are for your own good, for your own satisfaction, your own happiness. Whatever it is. For me, that's going to be making sure I sit down with my guitar at least every couple weeks. My son is in a guitar class right now, trying to learn in high school, trying to learn basic chords and single notes, and I have no excuse. It's something I like. It's something I regret not doing at a younger age. It's something that I got into a little bit and then got away from it. We're going to get back into it in 2025. So there it is. 8 things that I am going to be far more purposeful about in 2025. Yes, these are New Year's resolutions. Yes, that is corny and cliched as all get out, but it's a way that I know I can keep myself accountable. I've got my list going already. Lose at least 25 pounds, at least 25 glasses of water per week, which helps replace the snacks. Get to church at least 25 times. 25 reach outs to friends, family, old acquaintances I haven't talked to in a while. cut 25% of frivolous spending, whether that's at the store, whether that's takeout meals, 25 push-ups per day, and sit down with my guitar, you know, at least 25 times this year. Get back to learning a skill I really wish I would have honed in my younger days. You know, it's never too late. It's harder at this age, but it's never too late. I encourage you to, you know, I know it's January 7th, whatever. Be purposeful about the things that you want changed or improved in your own life. They might not align perfectly with mine. Maybe you're in perfect physical shape. Fine. Replace all of those things with, you know, other things you want to see improved in your own life in 2025. It is clear that the outside world is not going to help. The first week, things have already gone sideways in so many different ways. There's plenty of time to get into that. This show I wanted to reserve for, let's create as positive an outlook and positive a set of goals as we can for ourselves in 2025. And let's dedicate ourselves to holding ourselves accountable and being part of what is going to make our lives, our inner circles, better and more fulfilling in 2025. Let's do that together. Let's keep track of it. I'm certainly going to keep track of mine, and every once in a while I will give you a progress report, because I am not the best at holding myself accountable, but you guys can do that for me. You can keep track of this, and when I have to give you a number on, like, say the weight, if I have to come back to you for the next show and give you a number higher than the 214.8 that I gave you today, that's going to be pretty humbling. But it's something I am promising to do, because that is the only way that I am going to be able to make progress, is to hold myself accountable and have to share this progress, or lack thereof, with all of you. And you can make fun of me in the process, because it's just, these are all things I need to do. And the more accountability I can have in my inner circle, outside of just me, the better. So, like I said, going forward here, yeah, we'll get back to current events, but I mean, we've already started to mix in things that are apolitical, because I don't want to talk politics every day. I'm sure you don't either. We got NFL playoffs coming up here. That's going to take center stage in at least my entertainment world for the next few weeks here. Hopefully the Vikings can be a part of it for longer than just 1 week. We'll see what happens. Again, we've got that conversation with my friend coming up, where we are going to debate Trump-Harris, and I think she's center-left, maybe a little more left. I am certainly center-right, as the current political climate exists. So that'll be a very, very fun conversation. I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to do everything we can to get that out before the inauguration. And then, like I said, we've got all kinds of other things planned, too, that we've talked about in the past that we will be bringing to you one show at a time. I've got some time here with my extended break from my day job to get some of those shows locked in and ready to go, research done, outlines done, talking points ready to go. I am really looking forward to it. We've got all kinds of fun stuff planned here, but this was our New Year's episode, Resolution Central here. I know it's going to be a challenge to meet all of these things for me, but again, that's why I set them at what I feel are very attainable levels. And I hope to exceed all of them, because I need to be a better person in 2025. I need to be a healthier person in 2025. I need to be a more responsible person in 2025. And I'm going to take all of you on that journey with me. And I hope you all have your own journeys of those already going. If you haven't got them already going, I hope this is a little bit of an inspiration to, you know, put a couple of bars out there for yourself to reach this year. Make them attainable. Don't set goals that you know you're not going to reach. If you don't like going to the gym, don't make one of your goals going to the gym 5 times a week. You're never going to do it. If you like takeout and restaurants as much as I do, don't say you're never going to go to a restaurant in 2025. You know that's not realistic. Just try to reduce it. Try to make it a little more reasonable. That's what my goal is going forward for 2025. Making this show as entertaining as I can for you is another one of my goals. We're going to absolutely get into as much a wide ranging of subjects as we can going forward here. Really think you're going to enjoy all of it. We're going to try to grow this thing, try to make it more interactive as I get more comfortable with all this techie stuff going on around me here in this makeshift studio setup I've got here. We're going to try to get as interactive as we can and mix in some other fun things too. So looking forward to taking that journey with all of you. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to wrap here. This has been Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Happy New Year. And I'll talk to you next time.